We have been looking forward to this day for a couple of months now, I think, kind of planning and thinking about it. Thank you so much for the invitation. Thank you for the opportunity to share just a little bit about what we really feel like we're privileged to be able to see God at work in some ways that just, you know, you don't normally run into. And that's what we want to share and talk about this morning, is a little bit of how God is at work in our world in some ways that might not always be, you know, on the headline of whatever your news source is. And he's building his church. We're going to look at that a little bit today. So a word of introduction. My name is Mark and my wife Karen. And we, as Pastor was saying, we served in Mexico for about 12 years. We are with an organization called Crossworld that was out of the Philadelphia area, now relocated to Kansas City. We do training for Crossworld, but that has opened up and expanded, and we work with a group out of Portland that's called Culture Bound. Some of you may have some history with the Institute for International Christian Communication or the Worldview Ministries in Portland. That's us. We just renamed. And so we are involved with that ministry of training people from really all over the world who are taking the gospel message into yet other parts of the world. And that's what we're looking forward to sharing a little bit this morning.
I'm going to put my mask in your pocket.
Okay.
I forgot to wear my mask up here.
Okay, so we're going to start this morning. The outline of how we would like to share this morning is really kind of goes along the idea of why, who, where, and how of missions in the 21st century. And there's a lot of passages that we could start off with thinking about that why. We could think about the Great Commission, go into all the world, what we're called to do. We could also think about the fact that God calls us just to be a witness, that whole idea of you will be my witnesses in Acts 1:8. But I'd like for you to open your Bibles. We're going to look at two passages really, really quickly. The first is in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. Ephesians 3:10. The church that we are at, Montevilla Baptist Church in southeast Portland, is working its way slowly through the book of Ephesians right now, and we get to be a part of that because we serve with the Spanish-speaking part of the church. But in that role as kind of the bridge between English and Spanish, we're really enjoying a long, slow walk through Ephesians. Listen to what this verse says. This is one of those verses that you just almost want to slow down and say, wow, how did I read this so many times and miss it? Ephesians 3:10, Jesus is doing all these different things to bring to light, I'm going to pick it up in verse 9, the administration of the mystery that for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church. And who is it that's watching this church? To the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Look around. We, as the church, here and all around the rest of the world, is showing the manifold wisdom of God. It's that demonstration of something that goes so far beyond human wisdom. And it's God at work that we're wanting to celebrate and talk a little bit about this morning. That idea that it doesn't matter which powers and rulers and authorities you're talking about, they are sitting there watching and saying, oh my goodness, look at what God is doing. So that's one passage that just talks a little bit about the vision of where God is taking the church. The other one I would like for you to take a quick look at is in the book of the Revelation, chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. Really well-known words. They actually show up in Revelation 5 and in Daniel as well, a few other places. But in Revelation 7, just picture this with me. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands, and they cry out with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. So the word every, I've got this really technical descriptive word to help us understand this. The word every in that, it means every, you know? No secrets. Every tribe and tongue and nation and people are going to be around our Lord's throne giving him praise and glory. That is something to get excited about. And in the midst of so much apparently bad news, so what we've got is God is building his church. He's showing his wisdom around the world in through his church. And the vision of where we're going is every tribe and every tongue and every nation and every people will be there. That's a promise. That's not just because we've got a great strategy or something like that. God's bringing that about. So we have a part in that. We are to go and make disciples, that great commission. We are to be witnesses of him. We are part of that picture. But if I could just start at one place today, it's just simply to say, be encouraged. You know, he is building his church, and every tribe and tongue and nation and people will finally be in that throng around so big that you can't even count it, a multitude so large that nobody could count, giving him the glory and the praise and the worship. So when you read the news and say, wow, this just is not going in a good way, that's right. On the one level, it's not going in a good way at all. There's another level, and that level is where Jesus is building his church. So thinking about that as why we're involved in missions, that vision, that picture of every tribe and tongue and nation and people, I want to talk a little bit about who is involved in missions. And then Karen is going to join and talk a little bit about where missions is happening in some ways that might be surprising and encouraging. And she's going to talk about how missions goes on in our day and age. And we're going to kind of be looking at some illustrations of how this outworking is going on, of what we're talking about here, this outworking of the idea that every tribe and tongue and nation and people will be around the throne giving God that praise that he deserves. Who is involved in missions now? Well, there's a phrase that those of us who train and work in missions agencies and missions organizations use, that missions in our day is from everywhere to everywhere. So I work, for instance, with one of the organizations that I get to be involved with is a group called the International Mission Training Network. And some of our leaders in that International Mission Training Network come from Paraguay, others from Argentina, because Paraguay and Argentina are sending missionaries, okay? That doesn't cross our path very often. We don't hear that going on. But, you know, when God said, as you get to know him, go into all the world, the rest of the world has been reading their Bibles too. And we've got brothers and sisters in Christ in places all across Latin America that are sending their people also into other tribes and tongues and nations and people groups. Egypt is another place that it's just fascinating to see some of the amazing things that God is doing in that whole part of that whole region of the world. And once again, we don't run across it in our newspapers, but Jesus is building his church there. And there are some amazing Christian leaders and Christian teachers that are not only going themselves, but sending others also. We had the real pleasure of, in our 12 years working in Mexico, of seeing Mexicans go from the cities of Mexico into some of the rural countrysides and some of the language groups of Mexico, a wonderfully diverse nation. And so we would enjoy watching people from the cities that would say, you know, when it says go to every tribe and tongue and nation and people, that would mean the Zapotec people, that would mean the Totonac people, let's go. And they did. It also meant that some Mexicans said, oh, you know what, there's parts of the world that I'm not going to say because I don't want to get anybody into trouble, but there are parts of the world that a Mexican can get into and an American can't. And guess what? The Mexican said, here we are, send me, and they're there. So it is at one of those joyful times, Peruvians serving in France. We don't hear about it. We don't think about that, but it's happening all over the world. So when you think about missions in our day, definitely think about how we're involved, but we're not the only ones involved anymore. And we never were. I shouldn't say anymore. But nowadays, it's all the more clear that it is from everywhere to everywhere. And Jesus is just tapping people all over the world and say, you, I need you over here for a little while. And you, would you go over there? And little by little, that every tribe and tongue and nation and people is happening. Karen's going to talk a little bit about where some of the places are that the church is growing, and she will have to be a little bit vague, but she's also going to talk a little bit about how the church is growing in some of these places.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Thank you so much for your invitation. The church is growing all over the place, and Mark actually took a few of my notes. All right. But just think about in the news, some of the places you're reading about, whatever your news feed is. I like to look at the top stories from BBC because they're a little more international and we know people all over the world. Think of some of those places where you might be hearing about things happening. Guess what? The church is growing in Myanmar. You know, we read about that daily these days and what's going on there. One of my fellow students at Western, I work at Western, I'm actually graduating this next week from a program. But anyway, one of my fellow students, he spends, well, up until COVID, he spent 6 months here, 6 months in Myanmar. He's Burmese. And that, and you know, he works as a pastor, but he's also in training Burmese Christians to go places. And so, you know, we're praying fervently along with him as all this upheaval is happening there. But you know what? We have brothers and sisters there, and you don't read that in BBC News. You know, you read about all the things, the awful things that are happening, but we have brothers and sisters there and praying that they will be salt and light in the midst of a very difficult situation. Where else is the church growing? Well, Mark mentioned some of the Mexicans we know that are in Central Asia, places where we can't go. Somebody that we had the possibility or the opportunity to train even while we were in Mexico. Since we've been there, she has been in Central Asia all these years, working as a teacher. You know, she didn't go on a missionary visa. They were looking for Spanish teachers. Oh, well, really? She's a native Spanish speaker. And off she went, and she's been there probably 15 years. And that we've had the opportunity to work with a mission agency in Panama. That was kind of fun to, we knew some people there. But you know what? One of the people that we had a chance to train, she's been in India for a number of years now, working with a group there. Another one is in a very difficult country in Central Asia and has been there for a while. Again, they have passports that are invited in. The people in our Hispanic congregation are Cuban. Guess what? They're really on fire. So one of the people that we worked with, that we have worked with in Cuba, he was presenting at a mission society meeting up here, and his comment was, you know who's the best church planter, who was the best church planter in Cuba? It was Fidel Castro. What? Wait a minute, you know. For those of us who are, well, a lot happened even before I was aware of what was going on. Why would you say that he was the best church planter? Well, he made a rule at some point that you could not have a gathering of over 20 people. Okay, once you got up to 20 people, that it was illegal to have any more people. So what happened with the churches there? Well, you know, they would meet and they'd get up to 20 people, and well, guess what? They would have to split into two. you know? And then they would split into two. And so, yeah, the church is alive and strong there. You know, his comment that Fidel Castro was the best church planter that ever was because of his rules. God wasn't stopped with that. Jesus is still building his church. And there and other places, and I'm going to kind of morph now into not so much where as how, there and other places, people are going in many different ways. Okay, so there are Cubans who are going as professionals all over the world. And the Christians are volunteering to go. All right, you've got people from all over East Asia, the Philippines and stuff like that, Christians who are volunteering to go places to do some of the jobs in the Middle East that the Middle Easterns want. And there they go. They are volunteering. There's also, though, you know, I'm just going to give you some stories from people we know personally, but magnify this out because these are, we know a lot of people, but we don't know everybody by any means. We know people who went to East Asia to coach and teach baseball, a professional baseball player. Okay, we know another couple that's been in East Asia for, I think, at least 15 years, started a business there. A for-profit business, you know, not, oh, we'll go, you know, kind of sneak in on a business visa and do just a little bit. No, they have a full company going, and it's a company that is for-profit. They, you know, they're hiring local people in that, and every week they have 2 hours that they pay people, whether they go or not, to a Bible study. Now, the Bible study is an important point, part of that ministry, but you know what speaks louder even than that is ethics, paying a fair price, watching how business can be done ethically in a very East Asian way, but, you know, contextualized to that, but not sweatshops, not those kind of things. Their lives and the way they conduct business speak so loudly that many people have come to know the Lord. And again, they weren't arm-twisted. It's not like you have to come to our Bible. If you work for us, you have to come to our Bible study. There's none of that. But the love of God, the encouragement from being treated like a human being and with respect, and that just speaks volumes. I know I just, I'm in the language part of training with Culture Bound. We just trained somebody this last week who's going to Turkey as a football coach. He and his wife as teachers, but he's going to be at a university. And I know the person who was there before him. Okay, so, you know, there are many, many ways that Jesus is building his church. I was interested in listening to the Loves testimony there because our mission also has somebody, and I think they might work at the same refugee center there in Malaga. And so, you know, reaching out to refugees and that. That sounds great. That's a lot of people going, but what about here? You know what? There are people from all over the world here, and they come for looking for a better life, looking for work, trying to get away from just horrid conditions where they are in that, and they are here, and we have the opportunity through either our work, maybe the grocery store, maybe somebody who does your landscaping, I don't know, you know, to make contact. Not that they're a project, oh, we want to, you know, count the number of people that raise their hands. No, to get to know them as people, to get to know them who they are and that. And through the love of Christ being present in us, the Spirit in us, as we get to know people that are maybe from a different place, a different, you know, ethnic background or whatever, the love of Christ, and as possible through words, some speak more English than others and that, but, you know, here's God orchestrating all these different things. We have the opportunity to meet the nations and get to know them as people, bring the love of Christ. I really like Acts 1:8 that talks about you will be my witnesses. You know, there is the going and doing, but we're just, his spirit is in us. Get to know people, and guess what? You know, you might have the opportunity to share the gospel with somebody like that, but they also have contacts back in their own country. For instance, we know people that work with a group, Chinese Outreach, yeah, working with scholars that come to some of the universities. Well, you know, those scholars go back again. A lot of them, they actually, two churches have been planted because of this ministry, just working with Chinese scholars, helping them with English, helping their families with English, because the families come over and it's like they don't know any English at all. So they started English classes. Two churches have been planted here, but they also started making, trying to find out who the believers are, where these people are going back, because a lot of them came to know the Lord. They didn't come as Christians. They're leaving to go back as Christians. Who can they network with in their area? Well, there's enough people now that they can a lot of times go back with, you know, at least a few contacts in their area, and be witnesses back in their own country. All I want to say is Jesus is building his church. It's so exciting. The passage that Mark talked about from Ephesians 3:10, that manifold wisdom of God, manifold means varied, multifaceted. You know, here is, Jesus is building this church that the League of Nations and the United Nations, and that you can't do in human strength. It hasn't worked. You look at that, but Jesus is building his church, and there's that unity in Jesus Christ, and then there's that beautiful diversity of how the Christian life is lived out and how the Bible is read. And I think when, you know, one day we're going to be around the throne, but even before that, I think we need us all to give a more fuller picture of who the head is, Jesus Christ. You know, I want to be his witness, but I'm one person. I think we need not just me, not just our congregation, local congregation, not just the congregations in Portland or in Oregon, but all over the world, that multifaceted gives a more full picture of our head, Jesus Christ. And I hope that you're encouraged that he's still building his church. Amen. Oops. I go there.
What we wanted to do today was paint a little bit of a picture of why, you know, what's happening in the heavenlies. Jesus is building his church and showing his wisdom, and he's doing that until every tribe and tongue and nation and people, and he's doing that through this wide variety of ways and means. Some of it looks like traditional missions, like you and I think of as sending missionaries, but some of it is happening through all of these other areas that, like Karen was just talking about, professors that come here for a short while and then go back to their homelands, or students that come here for a while and then go back, or families that move here and then they start growing in Christ and they say, wow, I've got family back home. This weekend, some really good friends of ours at the Hispanic Ministries at Montevilla were having a taco, a very specialized taco, birria. Anyway, it's a whole different matter. they did a taco sale that they called it Agape Mission. And they said, this is all the proceeds we're going to send back to some missions in Mexico that need a little bit of encouragement right now, need a little bit of extra gifts. And so now we've got people from one country to another going back to their homelands, going back into their parts of the world. That's what is happening as Jesus is building his church right now. Through that kind of business enterprises, through diaspora kinds of missions, and through all of that, that wisdom of God just keeps being shown over and over again. We get to see some of it, that Ephesians verse says the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places, they're really paying attention to it. And we all sit down and say, look at what God is doing. So I would like to close with a word of prayer. Before we pray, we did leave some literature. I think it's on the desk at the reception place as you come into the church. And we put out some online materials, and we have an online website that talks about some of these kinds of stories and tells you how you can be a part of hearing more of the kinds of things that God is doing. We also do some local church training events that help people know how to go about reaching into some of the immigrant groups around you, for instance. If there's ever any interest, we would love to be a part of doing that and helping not only us share a vision, but also some of the skills and attitudes that are part of being effective at crossing from your culture into another one. So there's all kinds of ways back there on the table to be able to stay in contact with us, and we would love it if you would do that. So let me just close with a word of prayer. Jesus, we stand in awe of you, a God who loved the world so much. Well, the Father loved the world, sent the Son, sent the Spirit. And we not only get to be recipients of that love, but you've asked us to be a part of showing that love to the world around us. And some of that showing the love around us is through our own actions, and some of it is just simply being encouraged because of what you're doing and how you are bringing people from every tribe and tongue and nation and people into your family. Lord, show us a step at a time, one day at a time, who it is that you want us to be involved with. But for today, Lord, would you just simply accept our thanks, our praise, our worship? You are an awesome God. You are doing awesome and mighty things. And in the middle of what looks like just such a bleak time in the world's history, you are building your church like never before. And we give you the praise and the glory and the worship today to our only wise God, who is showing his wisdom through the church in our day and age. So we thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Would you continue to build your church, and would you bless Grace Baptist? Thank you so much for the privilege of being able to just open your word and share some stories of what you're doing. We ask your blessings through the name of our Savior. Amen.